going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Visit Freedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today, Joe Shasky. Good morning to you. Good morning to Sam. Good morning to Carter. All you lovely people just getting off work, getting ready for work, getting ready for school. I hope the wind died down a little bit because it was brutal about 4 o'clock this morning. I know Shasky's fighting through some allergies. He's fighting for his life. He's like MJ in the flu game. This is Joe Shasky's flu game right now.
There's only one MJ who was fighting for his life. His name's Mark Jackson.
Mark Jackson
for my life. That's what he said to reporters after game 6 of the 2013-2014 game 6 against Clippers. Yeah, Warriors.
What is he doing, by the way? Is he doing anything, Mark Jackson? Just hanging out? Just not doing any games? Nothing? Because I know Jeff Van Gundy's on the sideline for the Clippers. He's an assistant coach with them. You didn't see that?
Jeff Van Gundy, who looks like the Queen of Hearts?
Stop.
No, I'm dead serious. If you look at Jeff Van Gundy, you will
like from Alice in Wonderland.
He just looks like the Queen of Hearts on a deck of cards.
Tell me he doesn't. I gotta look this up now. Jeff Van Gundy.
I'm making
Queen of Hearts.
You know, as I think about it, that's kind of dead on.
Is that actually dead on or is that dead on?
It's pretty dead on.
That's pretty good.
Isn't that good?
That's pretty good.
Someone said it online and I can't unsee it now.
It's Zach Berg or Barg or whatever. Yeah, oh, no, Dan Levitard Show. Jeff Van Gundy's the Queen of Hearts. It was the Levitard
and
Show
it looks
that did it.
Dead on like the Queen of Hearts.
Oh, it's pretty good. Shout out to those watching on Twitch here on YouTube. I wish we could do that on YouTube right now. Just put that graphic up there.
Oh, we got to learn how to do that.
A shout out First NorCal Credit Union for a low rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk Righteously Brewed here in San Francisco. Shout out Sam Gadiri and the crew out at Laughing Monk. We got a massive game tonight, though, Joe. Game 2, Rockets, Warriors. Tip off at 6:30 right here on 95.7 The Game. Coverage starts at 5:30 with Warriors Live. Cannot wait for all that action. And we got more action tomorrow because we're going to be reacting to the game, obviously, whether the Warriors win or lose. And then we got the NFL draft happening tomorrow. Who are the Niners going to pick at 11? Are they going to trade up? Are they going to trade back? The Giants, the Browns, they're open for business. Are they going to draft anyone at the 2 and 3 pick, respectively? And also, we've got reaction on Friday because I know we got Brian Baldinger joining us then. So much happening these next couple days. And it's so exciting, but it starts tonight. Warriors could put a chokehold on this series with a win.
This is a big one for a variety of reasons, but I think it's all about like the hope. And if you allow them to win a game in this series, then you're giving them hope, and that's going to fuel their youthful kind of exuberance.
You don't want that. You're saying you don't want a new hope.
Stamp
right
it
now.
Out. I want to stamp it out big time. And I think
you're the Death Star right now. You're going to destroy everything. You don't want any plans to be leaked.
I mean,
this is
a team right now that
Jedi Andor opened yesterday, season 2,
which I'll be watching at some point today. But yeah, you don't want to give these young guys any kind of breathing room, and you don't want to let them crack the door open on the optimism and the hope. And so I think it starts with obviously not turning the ball over. You know, bad shots lead to big transition fuel outs where these guys are getting dunks and layups and their athleticism can be showcased. You don't want to have awful live ball turnovers. Same thing can happen. I would force this team into executing in the half court, and I would continue to go back to running lots of zone, until they can prove that they can beat it.
I would agree with that. 888-957-9570. Who needs to step up tonight? If you're getting the Jimmy Butler performances you got last game, or Stephen Curry's performance, or both of them, who else needs to step up? Who needs to have a big game for you tonight? And your X factor for tonight's game is what? 888-957-9570. Joe, I know you mentioned it might be Draymond Green.
My X factor is Draymond Green. I think, obviously, him staying out of foul trouble, he's your best chance against Şengün just overall, but he's also your best defender, period. And I think that when you look at what they did in the closing stretches, Draymond's hands were all over it. Whether it was him actually making a play with his hands deflecting or him guarding someone so Jimmy can kind of be the free safety and the roamer and the guy that can step into the passing lanes. They need Draymond to stay out of foul trouble. And then psychologically, they need him to be completely locked in and not play into the hands of the physicality of the Rockets. And just getting into it shenanigan-wise with the officials. I said it going in. This series is a lot about the officials. And it's going to be very important for Draymond to just kind of bottle it up and not lose his mind. And I really do think that this team takes their cues from him. And when he kind of loses his emotional control, this team gives up a lot when he's off the floor.
I'm looking at Steve Kerr tonight, and what I would tell Steve Kerr, ride the hot hand. Whoever's got it, ride that person. If it's a Buddy Hield performance tonight, and I know it sounds crazy, Buddy Hield has it going, ride the hot hand. If it's Guy Santos, ride the hot hand. If it's Quentin Post, maybe Quentin Post shows up tonight, ride the hot hand.
I like that.
That is what I want to see tonight from the Golden State Warriors. What do you want to see tonight? Same number to call or text the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line 888-957-9570. And Steve Kerr spoke to that yesterday with Willard and Dibbs on what they need to adjust in game two.
We watched the tape with the team today, with the staff yesterday. There were some obvious things that we have to improve upon, particularly our offensive execution. And so, you know, in a situation like this, you feel good about the win, but you prepare for the force that's coming, and you tweak some things to try to improve your game.
And that's the thing in all this. I know Phil and Mike referenced it. We've all referenced it. It's not like the Warriors played all that great, and they still won pretty comfortably towards the end of that game. I know they had, like, I know there's two sides of the same coin almost, right? It's glass half full, glass half empty. You blew a 23-point lead, but they had a 23-point lead in that game. That's baked into the equation. So, like, I know even if they play, they're not their A game. That was like their B-minus game offensively. They could still win. Now, that baked into that was the Rockets' F-minus game offensively. That was awful. That's the fewest points they scored all season long, 85. I don't expect that to be baked into the equation, but what I do expect still to carry over from Game 1, Joe, was that interior defense. Was that defense getting out on the perimeter? They were doing everything. It was Jimmy. It was Draymond at times. Hell, Stephen Curry. I know Jalen Green, he's not going to shoot that poorly, 3 of 15 overall, but credit Steph. When that something like that happens, I'm going to give some credit to Stephen Curry, who was playing some on-ball defense in Game 1.
I actually think he will continue to struggle. I think
really?
I do. I think that he...
He's in a slump right now?
Well, no. Like, against the Warriors, it's been a pretty big sample. He's had about 7 or 8 games against them, and it feels like he never really gets it going. He's a guy that's predictable. He's going to try to go to his right and going to go into the lane and crash into people. And I think if you're going to have the paint packed the way that the Warriors had in the last game, it's going to make it really difficult for him. And if you're basically saying, we dare you to shoot from the outside, if he doesn't hit a couple of shots, going back to the psychology and the confidence, he's not going to take a lot of those. He's a reluctant jump shooter at best.
888-957-9570. Let's go to the phones. Paul is in Hayward, wants to join in the conversation.
Hey,
previewing game two between the Rockets and Warriors tonight in Houston. Good morning, Paul. What you got, man?
Good morning, guys. I'd like to talk about a possible role for Kuminga in this series.
Oh, okay.
And not as water boy.
Okay, no, fair enough. Go ahead.
I would like to see Kuminga go out and try to draw as many fouls as possible. And if Kuminga fouls out early, then Kuminga fouls out early. But at least he would get some of these guys in a little bit of foul trouble early, hopefully.
Okay.
That's all I got.
Okay, that's Paul and Hayward. He wants to use the foul game. You're talking about the officials. Maybe bringing in Jonathan Kuminga in this series or in this game tonight might help with that. I'm not so sure that's what you need from him.
Jimmy's for.
Well, that's what Jimmy's for, and that's also what, you know, you would hope Stephen Curry gets some calls, right? Or you would hope Moses Moody or Brandon Podziemski get into the line. But yeah, like, I don't think that is the scenario you envision and why you would bring in Jonathan Kuminga. You would bring in Jonathan Kuminga because none of the other guys I mentioned off the bench are stepping up.
Or doing looking for a spark.
Or a spark, right?
Yeah, get some
down,
sort of spark.
Get down big, maybe. It's third quarter. You're down, you know, 20 points or something like that. Hey, JK, a couple minutes. Oh, maybe go on a 7-0 run or 6-0 run.
I will not be surprised if he doesn't play at all in this game.
Okay. No, but fair enough.
I think right now it's probably more surprising that he would play.
Anthony right? Slater.
I mean, I think that's pretty reasonable.
Yeah, in the series or just the game?
This game.
Okay. No.
I mean, it's been three in a row.
No, I would be...
Right?
Three in a row. I don't think shocked is the word I would use. Be mildly surprised if he played in this game. But again, if they get down big, maybe they do that. Maybe they dust him off or
something
like that.
What would be more surprising? Down big and he goes in or a tight game and he goes in?
A tight game. There's no chance that he's going to him in a tight game. Just none. He's out of that rotation. The trust factor there is not there with Steve Kerr. Anthony Slater, a 95.7 The Game Warriors insider, though, spoke to that. If there is a role in this series for Jonathan Kuminga, maybe it's in place of GP2.
Gary Payton gets it however many minutes he got. I think 15 was a minus 10. To me, those could be the Kuminga minutes, partly because there is not a guy you have to throw Gary Payton on. This is like not necessarily a series where you're like, go slow this perimeter guy down. But Steve Kerr likes the way this rotation's playing, and they do keep winning, so it's hard to be overly critical.
And not only Gary Payton, but he thinks that Jonathan Kuminga's behind Guy Santos in that rotation as well.
He still looms out there as the guy if they lose in a way tonight, and he can be an adjustment heading towards game three. But to be honest, it feels to me like Guy Santos has turned into their in-game pivot point. What did he play, like 6 minutes? It just seems like if Steve Kerr's looking for some, you know, an energy spark, he goes to him for 2 or 3 minutes. And so I would consider Kuminga further than that down the pecking order right now. But we'll see if that changes.
So he's down to the pecking order. That was Anthony Slater who joined us yesterday. If you missed any of that interview, find it on the free Odyssey app or on YouTube. Good stuff each and every week with Anthony Slater. And earlier today, Joe, we had Ryan Hollins on, who 10-year NBA vet, covers the Rockets, their TV color analyst, a lot of good stuff. And again, same thing, if you missed that interview, YouTube or the Odyssey app. He actually thought that this is a series where the Warriors could use Jonathan Kuminga.
This is a series where you would need Kuminga with his size and athleticism to match the athlete to Houston. You got Amin Thompson flying in, Tari Eason flying in, Jabari Smith Jr., and he fits that mold. He can match up with those guys.
Well, the problem is, like, none of those guys scared me in game one, so why would you use Jonathan Kuminga to combat any of those guys? Now, if those guys ball out and they win tonight, maybe you do pivot in game three, and that's a look you might have to give, but they won the game in game one with what worked, and Kuminga was a DNP, and if that happens again tonight, they're going to keep sticking with that, right? Like, you kind of have to. The proof is in the pudding, is what I'm saying, Joe.
Yeah.
They have snack packs.
I understand why we're discussing it. I just don't think it's, I think it's all a moot point until he actually plays.
Exactly.
And I'm not mad at people for suggesting it, because, look, I'm suggesting, like, hey, maybe you give TJD a minute, you know? Maybe you give Guy Santos some opportunities at a small ball five. But I think this whole thing of like, this is the rotation and it's set in stone, like, that's not true, number one.
No.
Because you're going off the flow of the game, foul trouble form.
Ride the hot hand is what I was saying.
But
yeah.
The other thing is, like, Guy plays a different kind of basketball than JK completely. And that's why he's playing right now. He's more of a four. Guy is, like, traditional four.
Yeah.
Can do a little bit of the three stuff. JK, I just consider him more of a wing. You know, and he's a guy that I can throw defensively out on the perimeter, whereas Guy, I kind of want banging underneath the basket.
All right, to put a bow on this Jonathan Kuminga conversation, because I agree with you, I don't think he plays tonight. If he does, it's going to be in cleanup or mop-up duty. It's when they're down big. But here was Steve Kerr on yesterday with Willard and Dibbs, head coach of the Golden State Warriors, talking about Kuminga, and said, you know, he's been great and he's staying ready.
Jonathan has been fantastic. I mean, his attitude, his energy on the bench, cheering guys on, staying ready. He's a great, great young guy. And, you know, this has been tough on him, but he is doing exactly what he should be doing, which is staying ready because, you know, as I've told him and our coaches have told him, things can change in a heartbeat.
in the NBA, and he's got to just be ready for when his time comes, and that's exactly what he's doing. So he's staying ready, and I would be surprised if at some point, I mean, you know, his time doesn't come, because I've just seen this too many times. But when you're in a good groove, you know, you kind of keep doing what you're doing, and then you adjust as you go.
And we brought that up yesterday. Would you be shocked at all if Jonathan Kuminga played? You said in the playoffs you'd be kind of surprised if they dusted him off. And I said there's going to be an opportunity, and Steve Kerr kind of talked about it there. There will be an opportunity for him at some point, whether it's tonight, whether it's going forward, whether it's the next round if they advance. There's going to be an opportunity in non-cleanup and mop-up duty minutes for Jonathan Kuminga to show that he could help this team. There's going to be an opportunity, and it's going to be up to JK this season. But I don't think it's going to happen tonight. I don't think. It might. We'll see.
I would just say this. I'd like to, you know, move beyond the Kuminga talk. But
we'll see.
There are two guys that I would point to if I was Jonathan Kuminga. Like, and I was in his group. I'd say, hey, look, man, look it. All you can control is your energy and effort level and how good of a teammate you are. And when your opportunity comes, seize it. That's it. Drew Bledsoe got replaced by Tom Brady, and then Tom Brady got knocked out, and then Drew Bledsoe had to go back in there in a championship game and help them win, and they ended up going back to Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. But it endeared Drew Bledsoe not only to the teammates in that locker room, but to other organizations. Like, that's a guy we want to have here, and he ended up getting traded to the Buffalo Bills. Jalen Hurts is a guy that I think about all the time. He got replaced by Tua, only to get Tua knocked out in a championship game, and then he'd have to replace him. I mean, he was ready to go. And I think just the humility and seizing of the moment and all those things, that's how you take control of your career. It's not about pouting and whining, and not that JK's done any of those things. It's about taking advantage of your opportunities. And look at Brock Purdy, you know? Guys like that. So that's what I would say if I was like whispering sweet nothings into JK's ear.
Moment.
Just be ready for your moment. There, and when it arises, seize the moment. And it's all you can control. And they might not ever go back to you. But you know what? Take advantage of whatever opportunity you get. Because when I see someone like Gee out there, I do think that he understands that. Like, seize the moment.
There you
take
go.
Advantage of it.
Shout out Ernesto de la Cruz in the movie Coco, Pixar, seize your moment, even though he's the bad guy. Uncle Gene is in Oakland, wants to join the conversation. Good morning, Uncle Gene. How are we feeling about tonight's game?
Actually, not terribly good. I'll tell you why. I'm pretty much aligned with you today, Joe Shafty. I think that what my fear is that we don't have appropriate fear, as Steve Kerr would like to say. Tonight we don't have the sense of urgency, and that's not surprising. All right, we've already accomplished what we wanted to accomplish. We beat them in the first game. We've taken back home court advantage. All we have to do is basically hold serve and win at home, and we win the series. Meanwhile, they're desperate, okay, and they're a 50-win team. They're no joke. So I expect them to play better. I expect them to give us a really hard time. You know, harder than the first game. I think we might see what transpired between the T-Wolves and the Lakers, okay? T-Wolves came out, established themselves, showed themselves to be the better team the first game, and they were getting rolled last night because L.A. came out desperate. Now they managed to get back in the game, make it respectable at the end. If the same thing happens to us, I'm okay with that, all right? Then I still think we win in probably six games. If we win tonight, that would be wonderful. Then it's a 4-5-game series.
There you go. That's Gene Oakland. I'd actually be very disappointed if this goes six games, because this team needs rest more than any other team in the playoffs remaining. Their three best players are 35 years and older. That's why I think this game tonight is massive.
Well, it's not a
must win, but it feels like a gotta have it. To quote Dan Dibley, like, this is a gotta have it win for me, because you know what the difference? But no.
I know, but he does this thing where, like, it can only be a must win if you're facing elimination, which I disagree with.
I'm a P1 with all the stations, or with all the different shows at the station. All right. But the difference between a 4-5-game series compared to a 6-game series would be huge, particularly for this team, because I think what I saw from the first two games in the Lakers-T-Wolves series, that has the potential to go 6 or 7.
Yeah, we need overtime.
You need overtime. Exactly. I know you rooting for the Lakers yesterday because you wanted that series to keep extending.
I wanted to go 7.
Exactly. And that, and what do you want for this series? 4 or 5.
I want 4.
You want all the rest.
But you have the 2 full days of rest, game day on game 3, and then so today would be game 2. Then you'd have Thursday, Friday, all day to rest.
Yep.
Saturday night would be the game. So you have multiple big chunks in between these first couple. I'll be disappointed if we're not up 3-0. I really will right now because I could see this team knows that they need to seize the moment.
Would you be disappointed with a loss tonight, Dub Nation, or do you feel like they're playing with house money, 888-957-9570? Because I'd be disappointed. You have a chance to put a stranglehold on this series. The Warriors did not play their A game. I know Gene was saying he thinks they're going to come out sluggish or, you know, the appropriate fear. No, I think there is appropriate fear. I think they're going to have their foot on the gas early on in this game. I would be surprised if they came out as sluggish as Minnesota did yesterday when the Lakers went up in that first quarter 34-15. I think we all kind of felt like, okay, this game's over. I know they made it respectable in the end, quote unquote, but the Lakers were in control for most of that game. Before we go to Dave Fleming here and we hit our break, let's go to Idris, who's in Hayward. He's feeling the urgency about this game too. Good morning, Idris. How we doing, man?
Hey, how's it going, fellas? Doing a great job. So I'm just going to throw some points out there. It's obvious this could easily just go home split, but I want to see the Warriors just shock us and just come out in that first quarter and go up by like 8 or 10. Like, just punch the Rockets in the mouth first. Like, let them know, like, no, we will sweep you if you don't play around. We also got to pay attention to how the refs call it. I like how Curry dealt with the physicality in the last game. And outside of Steph and Jimmy, we need somebody else to just kind of take that pressure off. And if they're not ready, then Steph and Jimmy need to, as veterans, say, no, 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 no. Let's sniff this out. So, or I'll accept if the Rockets play a phenomenal game. VanVleet has like 7 threes. I mean, he's having one of those games, but that's what I want to see tonight. If we can steal it, it would be great. We're older. We can use the rest. I don't want to see this go to 6 or 7 because we know what we got to deal with next round. That's all I got. God bless.
There you go.
100% in agreement.
Yep. Yeah, you want to take care of business tonight because on paper, you cannot win the series, but psychologically, you can all but win the series tonight, going up 2-0 on the road and now heading back home to Chase Center. Yeah, it's going to be a tough place to play for the young Houston Rockets. We're going to take a quick break. Come on back on the other side. We'll go around the diamond with Dave Fleming. We'll get back into the Dubs as well, plus some Niners talk coming up in the next hour as well. John Lynch spoke to the media yesterday, voluntary OTAs. Brock Purdy showed up. Fred Warner showed up. George Kittle did not. What does that mean? We'll talk to John Lynch and hear what he had to say. And Ian Rappaport of NFL Network also had some interesting thoughts there. But first, Dave Fleming talking Giants on the other side. It's going to be brought to you by Frontier Ford.
Well, that's because you guys were out of the studio.
I don't know what you're talking about.
There was a backup in the restroom. Remember, we are at a studio now that only has one stall and then another stall, and that's it. And there's more
uses.
People than we need for stalls.
You know, there's this thing called rate of play in golf, Sam. I know you don't play
Dude,
all that often.
Dude, you went
often.
Out of like 28 marshals. After the bathroom. You have even less than an excuse.
It was a long stream. Warriors postseason coverage is brought to you by Agape
Race
Golf
Creek.
Tournament on Monday, April 28th at Stone Tree Golf Club, presented by Atco Pest Control. Steiny and Guru will be broadcasting live from 10 to 2. And if you want to play, go to 957thegame.com and click on the events tab to sign up. All proceeds will benefit the North Bay and Golden Gate Regional Centers, as well as the San Francisco Autism Society of the Bay Area. Joe and I are going to be playing on Monday. I think Willard Nibs are as well. So we're all going to be locked and loaded, all the shows there on Monday to play. I'm excited. I haven't played golf in so long, Joe. I need to get out there.
If you can hear my voice, whether it's the PGA Tour Superstore or Golf Mart.
Uh-huh.
I would love to do something and cook something up. I mean, I could use a new set of sticks.
I think
I said that for like 3 summers now.
Maybe
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Dave Fleming also feels that way, and he's brought to you by Rafael Lumber and Building Supply, serving contractors, homeowners, and the community in Marin for over 50 years. Visit their showroom today, and he joins us on the River Islands guest line. Dave, good morning.
What brand are you playing currently? What model?
We're talking golf here now?
Yeah. Not torpedo bats.
I am a Titleist guy. Oh. I've been a Titleist guy.
Do you want hundos?
I got 200s. I might go 100 if I did it over again or my next. But when I hit them both initially, when they were first, sort of on the scene, I went with the 200s.
Gotcha.
So that's my weapon.
Strong. I like that. I'm a Titleist guy as well.
He is a classy man.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, Titleist is class.
Scotty Cameron.
They look good. I want them to just look right when I stare down at them. I mean, it just sort of fits my eye. I have a good Odyssey putter, though. I've been making a lot of putts lately.
There you go. Look at that. Flexing that.
You know, while we're on this, we had talked about, we had your brother on a few times, and he says you're the better golfer. And they said your brother was outstanding in the Boston Red Sox dock. I watched the whole thing, behind the clubhouse, and he was really good, and it's uncanny how similar the two of you sound.
It's like they're brothers.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet. I need to. I heard it was really good, but I've had a million people come up to me, including a lot of Giants players, like, man, I was watching this documentary and wondering, why are you in it?
Dave, yeah. Talking about, we're laughing now, but unfortunately I was not laughing last night at Oracle Park, 11-3. It was a big win, obviously, on Monday, just losing 3 of 4, just getting that win psychologically. But then coming back, obviously, some misplays, some errors, not helping Hicks. I think you look at the end of the game and the box score, it doesn't really do him justice. 5 innings pitched, 8 hits, 5 earned runs, 5 Ks. But, when it comes to Jordan Hicks and his struggles early on, we didn't really see it early on last year. That was what was baked into last year, right? It was him fading down the stretch. It was him being a full-time starter, him eventually going back to the bullpen is where he started his career. Now we're kind of seeing the opposite. He did have a good, strong game one of the year. Now it's been kind of a mixed bag. What are you seeing from Jordan Hicks, and could a move to the bullpen be in his future if he keeps this up?
Well, I mean, look, if his ERA is at 6.5 in 2 months, then I think, probably almost anything would be on the table. But I personally think he's thrown a lot better than that number would indicate. I don't know what was going on in the first inning in Philadelphia. That was weird. He pitched much better the rest of that one. last night, it's really hard to pin most of that on him. I mean, it wasn't just the one inning. It was the whole game. The Giants just, you know, the first rally where they scored their first three runs, Ramos throws to the wrong bag, and you got to bring the infield in, and the ground ball gets through, and, like, you never know. If you just throw it to second, maybe they don't score at all. So I find last night hard to put on Hicks, hard to judge him. I think the stuff has been good. He looks fresh and healthy. His body looks good. So I'm willing to give him a lot more time. I think the Giants are too. Hard to know. It's sort of a cliche, but I do think there is some legitimacy to it. You go on a long road trip like the Giants did, and you're traveling all over, and we were on all these long flights bouncing back and forth. Feels like you're gone forever. You're playing good teams, grinding out close games. A lot of times it's the second day home. First day home, you kind of, you know, you haven't even unpacked. You just sort of get there, get to the ballpark, show and go, and maybe some adrenaline carries you through. You're back in front of your home fans, and it's like the next night when you've had to do kid duty in the morning and unpack, and maybe there's just a little mental, physical letdown. It sure seemed like it's the first game all year the Giants have had like that, where they just haven't played very well. I mean, it's been an amazing first month where almost every – I would say every single game the Giants have been in. Last night's the first game where you sort of felt halfway through, well, this one's over. We haven't felt that way one time. There was the one game at Yankee Stadium, but even that one, bad conditions. And even that one, Wilmer has some big hits, and they at least have a shot in the late innings with a couple chances. Last night was an aberration.
Real quick on that, Dave, as a broadcaster going deep behind the glass here with you, when you know the game's over halfway through, and baseball's so unique, right, because you don't have the time clock on there. With basketball, you know it's going to be over with a certain amount of minutes. Same with football. But in baseball, do you relish those opportunities given every year? Because you got a handful of them, right? Or if you're on a bad team, there's going to be a lot more than a handful. Like, what do you pull out of your bag? Do you do what you talked about on the road trip, what you're doing with at home? Like, the story, do you have stories baked into it if you know there's going to be a blowout, like, heading into a game?
Yeah, no, I never have stories. I mean, maybe it might open the window to, like, if there was some cool stuff around the game that I was paying attention to, you know, a story of a player, good or bad, or, I might bring that up. We were in Philadelphia. The Giants were on the winning end of a couple blowout games, and I'd start, you know, asking Javi some goofy questions about what do you call the face mask, ski mask thing, and we have a few chuckles about that. So you can get a little more lighthearted. I like those moments. I do. I mean, I think those are, you know, it's weird. You do this job and you pour yourself into it and, try to be the absolute best you can be at describing the action and the play-by-play. And then you have a debate about whether it's called a balaclava or a ski mask. And that's what people, you know, stop you on the street to say, oh, that was fun. I like that. So it's funny what people are attached to. But usually it just comes naturally if there's a game like that and you can be a little more lighthearted. I like to do that.
Dave, I'm looking at this team right now, and you kind of referenced the defense, so I'll pivot off that, because that's just the throw from Ramos. You could feel it coming, like, oh, no, Yelich was booking out of the box, and he took advantage of it. Like you said, you bring the infield in. The Bailey throw, he knows right when he let go of it, you just can't make that throw. You just cannot make that throw on a first and third situation. But to me, it's the bats right now that I'm probably the most concerned with. Catcher spot, obviously, Bailey defensively has been pretty good, but offensively, first base, the offensive production, it's bottom of the league in almost every single category overall. And now Casey Schmidt's got a one-month oblique injury at minimum. And then I'm looking at also shortstop. Yeah, I love Adames, but five extra base hits and almost 100 at-bats right now. It feels like he's pressing a little. Which one of those three positions are you most concerned with in terms of offensive production?
They've all been, you're right to identify all three of those. I would say most concerned with, I think the one that they need the bounce back the most from, I put Adames in a different category. I mean, last year, I think when we were talking about this time, Matt Chapman's numbers were probably very similar to Adames's. And I just think sometimes when you come to a new place and there's a lot going on, it is hard. And Adames has talked about he's a slow starter. I mean, his at-bats have not been very good overall. They just haven't been. And he's got a long track record of being a lot better than this. So I am fully confident that once he feels a little more comfortable, we're going to see the real Willie Adames come out. Catcher is different. I mean, catcher, Patrick Bailey, I think is you can tell. I don't know that I've ever seen the body language for Patrick look this frustrated on the field. On both sides. But the defense is the priority at that spot. First base is the spot where you got to get more offense. And I'm assuming that Lamont Wade is going to be, he's been a little unlucky. You know, the numbers would bear that out. He probably should be hitting like 220 or 230 based on how hard he's hit the ball. Not great, but better than what it looks. But the Giants need a lot more offense from that spot. And it has to come from – Lamont's going to have to be the guy, especially with Casey on the injured list. So I think he's the one that – not I wouldn't say worried or not worried, but I think he's the one where there's more urgency here to get that going. Because they do need – he's one of their few left-handed hitters, so they need more balance in their lineup, and they need production from that spot.
Talking with Dave Fleming, Giants broadcaster and Giants insider here on 95.7 The Game. And Dave, going back to Sunday, obviously tough loss there. Chance to win the series. You blow it in the ninth. Ryan Walker, not his best stuff. Then come back and you get Camilo Duvall. You get a save. Nothing to see here when it comes to Camilo, Ryan Walker, the closer. Is it Ryan Walker still? Or, you know, just one bad moment for Walker and you know what? He'll bounce back from it.
Yeah, I mean, it's his first blown save since being the Giants' closer. So it would be a pretty unnecessarily high bar if, okay, you blew one, you're out. Like, that sounds pretty ridiculous to me. He's done an awesome job since the Giants gave him that gig last year. The one thing worth watching, and I haven't talked to, you know, Ryan says he feels fine, but he had the little back thing at the start of the year. And he pitched back-to-back night Saturday and then Sunday afternoon, and his stuff wasn't very good on Sunday. That would be the one thing that I would watch is, like, is there something going on that he's not fully disclosing that maybe is, you know, making those back-to-backs a little more difficult, the recovery, the bounce back a little more. That would be, you know, that could change the roles a little bit if for some reason he wasn't fully physically healthy. I think he's fine. But just because it was only a couple weeks ago where, you know, you had a few days where he couldn't pitch because of that, that's the one thing that on Sunday I started to think, huh, I wonder if he's a little tight or not feeling totally himself. That would be a little concerning, but I don't hear that from him or Bob Melvin. So I'm assuming he's fine. But that, I think that's the one thing with Walker to watch going forward is he going to need a little time to freshen up? Because otherwise, I think for now and for a good long while, that's his job.
Yeah, yeah, I would agree with you for the time being. There's no doubt about it. And I'm looking at this team right now, like the defense in the outfield has actually been really good. I know Ramos didn't have a great play yesterday, but I think 9 times out of 10, he gets great jump on the ball. He's made a bunch of really like running in catches where he instinctually has a great first step. Right field, we know Yaz is a heck of an outfielder, and he's having a great start to the season. But Jung-Hoo Lee, I mean, the Phillies were trying to test him. I don't know why they were tagging up on that play in that series. And then his bat to ball, he's been awesome. He's been so much fun to watch. And I'm really happy for him. He feels like he flew under the radar heading into the year. And I'm seeing everything I thought I was going to get and then some last year. And I know it's only been a month, but boy, it really feels like he fits. The fans love him. And he's playing great ball on both ends.
Yeah, he is. He's playing great. It's been, you know, really, really fun to watch because he's just a delightful guy. He's totally, totally bought into being the best version of himself. I mean, this is a super dedicated athlete who is he wants to be the best player he can be, period. Like he's everything you want in terms of like the makeup and all that stuff. And he has. He's played at a really high level. It is going to be interesting. Like, I think you're already seeing here the Brewers are attacking him a little differently than most teams have. And so it's going to be the talent level is there, but this is the cat and mouse of this sport at this level is He is now going to be approached differently. Pitchers are going to be more careful with him. It's going to be a whole new world for him. It took 3 weeks for him to establish himself as a star level player, and now it's going to be different for him, and it is going to be a challenge. He's up to it, and I think he will make those counter adjustments because he's really a talented baseball player. But I love the way that he loves how much the fans are into him. He loves playing in this city, in this ballpark. He gets along beautiful. I mean, it's so fun to watch him interact with his teammates. Everybody down there really likes him. There is a chance, we don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but there's a chance the Giants really found, almost like a franchise leading talent in this guy. And because he can do a lot of different things, because he can run the bases and play defense at a premium position and post, he's a durable guy. He wants to be out there. Now that'll be another, just a one aside. I mean, that'll be another thing. Bob Melvin is going to want to give him some days off here, and he's given him, I think, two so far. And I think he's going to want to regularly try to manage that just to, this is a different workload in MLB, and his season was cut short last year. And I think he's going to want to keep him fresh.
No, it's no doubt about that. And the fans are already gravitating towards Jung-Hoo Lee. That's for sure. Dave, huge pitching matchup tonight. Freddie Peralta, Logan Webb. Cannot wait for that one. Two of the best in the National League. Freddie Peralta coming in with a 1.91 ERA. Logan having some bad luck as of late. Some Matt Cain games, if you will. 2.40 ERA, but he's doing his thing. He's a stud. He'll be there all season long. So can't wait for that. Real quick, though, before we let you go, NFL draft tomorrow. All right, your college basketball very well. You know your baseball, but you also know your college football pretty damn well too, Dave. Any slam dunks for Dave Fleming tomorrow? Can't miss guys, whether it's the Ashton Gentes, whether it's the Cam Wards, Armon Membus. Who's in Dave Fleming's can't miss prospects? Put your Mel Kiper Jr. hat on, Dave.
Definitely not. I mean, maybe Armon Membu is a can't miss, but he's not on my can't miss list. I'm not a Mel Kiper. Gente's going to be a good player. I still, if it were me, I'm not taking a running back unless Christian McCaffrey was a different thing. But in the NFL, that's not how I would build my team personally. Can't miss guys. I love the tight end at Penn State. I think he's an excellent player.
Yeah,
I think he's going to be really good. His teammate is going to be a really good pass rusher. No doubt about that. I think the most talented guy in the draft is Travis Hunter. Mm. And he's just a freaky, freaky athlete. So I think Travis Hunter is going to be a great player, no matter what he chooses to do. I think defensive back, he's got a chance to be an all-pro. There's a lot of good defensive linemen. It's a weird draft of the players who are probably the best players are not the most, it's not at positions that are the flashiest. It's not a big wide receiver draft. It's not a quarterback draft. But it's always a fun night. I mean, I'm assuming that 49ers are going to take a D lineman. And there are a lot of good ones. They're going to get a good player where they're picking. They'll probably trade down and still get a really good defensive lineman, maybe five or six picks below where they're lined up to pick tomorrow. So I always enjoy watching it because I do. I root for the kids that I get to see, over the course of their careers and the kids that maybe I get to know a little bit. And I like following those guys.
No, totally. Dave, did you call any Colorado Buffalo games last few years?
I did, yeah. Yeah,
Shador Sanders, he going to translate to the next level?
I'm not 100% sold on Shador. He likes to backpedal a lot in the NFL. That does not go over well. It's just hard to judge. He didn't get a lot of support, in some ways at Colorado. He had a lot of skill support, not a lot of big guy support. He can spin it. I mean, and he's a tough kid, really tough kid. But I'm not sold on Shador as a franchise quarterback. I could be wrong.
I'm sold on Dave Fleming as our franchise quarterback here at 95.7 The Game. Dave, we appreciate it, man. Good stuff here, and we'll talk to you next week.
Go Dubs.
There you go.
Oh,
go
let's
Dubs.
Go.
There he is.
It's a must win for me, Dave.
He gone. He said he'd be shocked if the Rockets won this series. He's been all in. He bleeds blue and gold, Joe Shasky. And you know why I asked towards the end there? And we'll get back into the Warriors, and we'll get back into the Giants at some point as well. Very fun pitching matchup tonight. Freddie Peralta, Logan Webb, sneakily very good. But again, all of us are going to be locked into Warriors, Rockets, and not the Giants, Brewers. Maybe Joe Shasky will have it on his phone. He'll have that little, or on the tablet, if you will. But I asked him about Shador Sanders, because this just floated up across my timeline during the break. Peter Schrager, ESPN, NFL insider, on with your boy, Bill Simmons of The Ringer, talking about teams that we're not talking about that could potentially draft Shador Sanders if he were to fall. Take a listen, Peter Schrager.
So it's completely insane, but also you could see it. Is there a team?
There's two teams.
Okay.
Not at 11, but you're telling me Shador's still on the board at 30, 31, 32, and we've got Brock Purdy talking about where he wants and what he wants. The San Francisco, pull the plug and just say, take two young quarterbacks. We'll see. We'll still sign for maybe.
But not at 11, but maybe a trade back.
Oh, heck yeah.
Shador to the Bay? Peter Schrager, he's tapped in. He knows his Niners very well. John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan. Shador Sanders, the San Francisco 49er. 888-957-9570. Are you in or out on that scenario? I'm serious. Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. Hit us up. And by the way, Dave Fleming was brought to you by Rafael Lumber and Building Supply, serving contractors, homeowners, and the community in Marin for over 50 years. Visit their showroom today. Shador Sanders.
Well, what I'm out on is okay. Let's take a deep breath here, everyone.
We are.
Well, here's what I'm out on. You are so excited. You're ear to ear.
Shador is box office, baby. Eyeballs. All the eyeballs will be
on
the Niners.
Can I ask this question?
Let's go.
Can I ask this question?
How many
holes does this team have currently?
The Niners. A few.
Okay. A few. Is quarterback a hole, even though Brock Purdy's under contract right now for this next year? Even though we know he wants a new deal, he is under contract right now.
You talk to some Niner fans, they feel like he is a weak point. They feel like they weren't impressed with this past season.
I think even the biggest skeptic on Brock Purdy would agree it is a roll of the dice on any one of these quarterbacks coming out.
Would you rather pay Brock Purdy $55 million a year, or would you rather draft Shador Sanders and trade Brock? How about that?
Because
that would be the scenario.
What am I getting back for Brock? I think is part
late
of it.
Late first-round pick next year.
I'm very lukewarm on Shador in general, just because I have a thought about what my quarterback, how he should operate, act, et cetera, in terms of you are the face of a corporation, right? And you can't come into the locker room, blasting Rolexes and whatnot if you can't prove that you can't play.
I mean, I think that's a little overblown, don't you? We do this every single year when it comes
the
character assassination.
Rolex while playing.
That's fine. That's his thing. He has the celebration. That's fine. Like, if you're winning, that's fine. Like, that program and culture was horrible. That offensive line he played against, or played up with, I should say, was horrible.
Let's talk about the Titans. If the Titans knew for a fact that Cam Ward would be as good right now as Brock Purdy, they would take that in a heartbeat. Now, they want him to be better, obviously.
I'm drafting him to be better than Brock Purdy.
Would they not take that right now? If they knew on the front, hey, you're going to get guaranteed he'll be as good as what Brock Purdy is right now.
Yes, but there's a whole lot baked into that, because the Niners roster is not as good as what Brock Purdy has had, and the coaching staff, quite frankly.
I'm just asking you if the overall production.
Sure,
when
I would
take
that.
You know, all these other quarterbacks flaming out, Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, Trey Lance, Trevor Lawrence, I'm looking at it this way. For as skeptical as I am on Brock Purdy making $55 million a year guaranteed, that I don't love that. I also acknowledge it is a humongous risk with any of these quarterbacks. I thought Caleb was not can't miss, but pretty close to he's going to be. That's a sure bet. He's going to be really good.
He showed flashes last year. He's a rookie, but I think a lot of us
don't know if he's good.
We still don't know, but I think he showed flashes, and I thought that coaching staff around him was it was putrid, but maybe it's just the Chicago Bears and that franchise is a losing franchise for most of my life, and it is what it is. I thought he was also Camus. I had the Bears making the playoffs last year, which seems laughable at this point. But again, Jaden Daniels, another guy. Like, I know you were high on him when he came out. He was a Heisman Trophy winner out of LSU, but the frame scared a lot of people. And again, we're talking about it. Why are we talking about it? Well, because Brock Purdy still hasn't signed his contract, although he showed up to OTAs yesterday without a new contract, and John Lynch spoke about what that meant to him and the organization.
Just that's Brock. You know, he's a pro, and he's, you know, he's going to – Brock's got a – he's a very clear-minded and not going to let other people influence, like, what he should be doing. And that's one thing everybody, I think, respects about Brock. He's done a lot for this organization, and, you know, we're grateful for him and, you know, looking forward to having him as our quarterback for a long time.
And there you go. And Brock Purdy – he showed up. Fred Warner showed up. Both those guys want a new contract. Another guy that wants a new contract is George Kittle. He did not show up. And this is the latest from Diana Russini of The Athletic. Kittle wants to become the NFL's highest paid tight end per source, to surpassing Trey McBride. And if you pull up Trey McBride on SpotTrack right now, he signed a 4-year, $76 million contract.
What are the guarantees?
$43 million guaranteed.
I'd give it to Kittle yesterday.
19 a year.
There are two players on this team who, to me, even though I know they're probably on the backside of their career, the back nine, and there's tremendous risk with any player that you extend in the NFL, Fred Warner and George Kittle, they've earned their money. They're, in a lost year, these guys brought everything that they possibly could. When the last 4 years of every single person sitting out, not playing and not doing this, not doing that, like, these guys have every reason to pack it up last year. And they didn't. These are tone-setting franchise pillars that you just have to reward.
The way he was speaking to the media last year is what really drove home to me just how iconic he is as a San Francisco 49er and why he probably should be a 49er for life.
Yes.
The whole Devondre Campbell situation and him speaking about leadership and showing up and stepping up as a leader after that game, where there was a lot of players like who didn't want to touch it. They're like, I don't know what happened. I don't know. No, George is like, no, I know what happened. Guy quit. We're not about that. And that's not what we stand for here in San Francisco. And in a lost year, he was a shining spot. Him and Fred Warner, who both want new contracts, probably going to be rewarded as they should. But again, going to be older. How's that body going to age? Like, you're talking about a 4-year contract. Again, the number of years is always, it's finicky because, as we know, it's not like Major League Baseball. It's not like basketball. The contracts don't really mean a whole hell of a lot. The guarantees mean a lot. So Trey McBride having 43 of that guaranteed, what's it going to be for Kittle? That's what we got to wait and see. But again, we're talking Kittle. We're talking about the Niners potentially picking Shador Sanders if he falls in the late round. He's not saying 11. We're not saying 11, but if he falls and slides to the end of the first round, do you draft a quarterback? 888-957-9570. Oscar in Stockton wants to talk about that and the Warriors, who have a massive game tonight. I know you're out on it, Joe.
Well, it's just to me, like, what are we doing? Like, is Brock your guy or not?
Well, I don't know. Is he your guy?
Well, I mean, how many years in a row are we going to do this quarterback thing?
I mean, you're the one talking about not paying him over $50 million a year. So clearly,
you have Mac Jones as a backup. Fine.
I'd rather have Shador than Mac Jones, if that's what you're asking.
We haven't even seen Shador throw an NFL pass.
And I know, and I've seen Mac